Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. But you can bring up whatever's on your mind. We've been talking about Bitcoin, sort of as the overarching topic here tonight. It is its 13th birthday. It was 2009, January 3rd, when Satoshi Nakamoto, whoever that person or persons is or are, released Bitcoin's code out there. The mining process began, and now here we are 13 years later with nearly $1 trillion in value. It's just under 900 billion at the moment, although it has eclipsed a trillion before, so it's down a little bit from its record high of around $68,000 per coin. It's at around $46,000 per coin right now. Some people would say Bitcoin is on sale. And
others would say Bitcoin is dead.
Others would say it's a Ponzi scheme. And somebody here over at Finbull.com is saying it's worse than a Ponzi scheme. But what started this whole conversation is the controversy that Crypto.com has stirred up over its new series of advertisements with Matt Damon. And I did, by the way, look a little bit deeper. And Matt Damon is a Crypto.com investor. So he is somebody who supports cryptocurrency.
Cool.
He's into it, I guess.
And he's just the coolest supporter they had. So now it makes a little more sense why they chose him for their advertisement.
I don't think he was necessarily a bad choice, although I don't...
We're different generations, though. I mean, presumably...
He would not be famous now. I was thinking that during the break. He would not have gotten famous now. Like, I don't see what the appeal of him is. He is such a dad.
How do you know he wouldn't have gotten famous?
Because he's annoying. He's just not cool.
Okay.
He fell out of style,
there was
basically.
Some action movie you made me watch with him in it, and I hate him more than I've ever hated anyone now.
Would that have been one of the Bourne movies, I'm guessing?
I don't think so.
It was so bad. I remember what it was called.
I don't know either. Samuel L. Jackson, I think you're right, would have probably been a better choice if they could have gotten
a hot girl. Like, any hot girl. Didn't have to be famous.
Well, I think it helps that he's actually into to cryptocurrency, because you know that people are going to interview him about it, right? Like, there are media people who are going to reach out to him and say, oh, are you into Bitcoin? And that way he can say, yeah. And he's actually into it, instead of just being some sort of actor who's just reading lines for a
paycheck. Mila Kunis is into Bitcoin. Michelle Phan
is
into Bitcoin.
Yeah, Mila Kunis would be a fine choice for an alternative. But anyway, people are upset about this particular commercial because, well, it's getting views.
And they don't have Bitcoin, so that makes them angry.
Right, and they feel like they want to feel like they're superior, though, at the same time. So they laugh, they make fun, they, you know, insult. And they call it a Ponzi scheme. One of them did. One of the critics on Twitter.
And see, I will almost give them that, except Bitcoin isn't just a Ponzi scheme.
Well, this one says it's worse than a Ponzi scheme.
I need somebody to explain to me what is a Ponzi scheme. I know what a pyramid scheme is, but I don't know what a Ponzi scheme is. It's not the same, right?
I think it's the same.
They're very similar. Charles Ponzi was the creator of the Ponzi scheme back in the early 20th century. Yeah, I don't know if it was New York or where it was. It was somewhere in the United States, I think. And he offered people a return if they would give him their money to invest, supposedly. And the returns were very, very good, like better than you'd get by just putting money into a bank account or something like that.
That is one of the differences, is that we're not promising anyone a return. And we always point out that, you know, Bitcoin's value could plummet tomorrow.
Yes, that is a key difference for sure. And also, the Ponzi scheme is centrally managed. Charles Ponzi was the man in charge of the Ponzi scheme.
I don't know that no one being officially in charge really makes that big of a difference. It's just a decentralized Ponzi scheme, I guess. But there's still sort of a hierarchy of people who have more Bitcoin than others. The more people they get into Bitcoin, the more money the people who have more Bitcoin end up making as a result of that. Because that drives up the demand for Bitcoin, and with this limited supply, that's going to increase the value of it.
Yes, in theory. But in the Ponzi scheme, just to answer Bonnie's question before we look at this statement that Bitcoin is somehow worse than a Ponzi scheme. So Charles Ponzi offered a very nice return. I don't know offhand what it was, but it was, you know, attractive. Better than most investments.
Right? Probably so, doubling your money or something like that.
Come on in. We'll give you 30% on your dollar after this amount of time.
And you got to think, if someone could take $100 and turn it into $200, why do they need money from you? I mean, they should have plenty of money to play with at that point. Why would they want to share those profits if they could do that?
I'd rather just be able to figure out how they did that and do it myself. And if you can't figure it out, it's probably not real.
Well, in theory, their answer to your question, Aria, would be, well, I have an investment. And the more money I can bring in, the more I can make. So I don't have enough. I need, you know, I've got the money that I've made on the investment, but if I can get other people in, I can make more off of that. And you can make some too. And look at all these people I have here who've made this money. See, there's all these people over here who will say they made all this money investing into my Ponzi scheme. So he had, you know, after a while, he attracted people in. And what ends up happening is the more people that they can continue to attract in, they basically pay out to the previous investors in the newbies' money. So there was no real investment. It was just a money-moving scheme. So every new sucker that came into the scheme paid off the previous suckers that came in. So the initial suckers did all right.
So like, I guess that is a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, it was one of the earlier pyramid schemes, maybe even the first one, so it has a name. And, I mean, it's not a pyramid scheme in that there's not, like, a specific level like you would see in, say, network marketing where, oh, if you get in at this level, then every, you know, two levels beneath you get paid X, Y, plus Z or whatever. So there was nothing like that. It was just you invest in this thing, and then after a certain amount of time, you get paid back. You get more than what you put into it.
If you recruit other suckers from whom they can take their money to give to you.
I don't know if that was a requirement. Now, that's an interesting question. I think that deserves a little bit more research as to whether or not you had to recruit. I don't think you did. You probably got some sort of a bonus if you did recruit some other suckers. But ultimately, they were paying out as they promised, right? As long as they could get new suckers into it, they could make the payments that they promised to make. And so the earlier suckers had good experiences. Like, it's Charles Ponzi. He does what he says he's going to do. I put in $100. I got $130 after X amount of days or whatever, right? So I put $130 back in, right? And so, you know, the first people in might have also been the second and the third after they got paid out. So anyway, am I explaining this at all to where
I know exactly what a pyramid scheme is. I just don't get why they have two different names.
It's very different from Bitcoin in that, you know, we're not doing that. We're not taking money from people and then giving it out to earlier investors or anything like that because there's no one to do that with Bitcoin. So in that sense, yes, it's obviously not a Ponzi scheme.
Well, another thing is if you give your money to Charles Ponzi, you don't have a thing that is like Bitcoin. That's how the MLMs get away with basically having pyramid schemes in a way because they skirt around the definition of a pyramid scheme by having a product. If they didn't have any product, then they would be illegal.
That's true.
But I'm not saying
that anyway.
But I'm not saying that that makes Bitcoin bad because it's something that's way more valuable than your money. I'd way rather have cryptocurrency than have a dollar, but I wouldn't rather have a crappy...
But that's only true because we've got enough suckers already who have bought Bitcoin that it has value because of their demand for it.
No, because it also has value for its use case. Like, you could say the same thing about, what is it, like, It Works. That's the MLM that I got into, I got suckered into when I was, like, 20.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have dollars than have their products. But I would rather have a Bitcoin than have
dollars
because of its actual, like, the qualities a Bitcoin has, not because of the fact that it will go up in value.
That's an important thing and a key difference between the Ponzi scheme or a pyramid scheme is specifically the Ponzi scheme, because with the Ponzi scheme, you just had a promise to pay. You had a promise from the organizer that he was going to pay you based on the, you know, what you put into the program. Whereas with Bitcoin, like you said, Ari, there's no promises.
Yep.
There's no guarantees. There's risk involved in Bitcoin.
And, well, it's an attempt to smash the state.
Well, that is true, but most people who get into Bitcoin don't understand that, and that's not relevant to them.
It's kind of bad that most people get into it just for the numbers to go up anyways. If that's not what people are getting into it for, that's kind of bad.
I see where you're coming from on that, Bonnie, but that's just the reality. That's the way most people are going to get into cryptocurrency, because they see it as a way to make money. The number is 603-283-6160, but there are no guarantees, and you're right. If it weren't useful, then it wouldn't be going up in value.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want. Number 603-283-6160. 1-800-283-6160. What is a Ponzi scheme and is Bitcoin worse? That is according to Robert McCauley, who he's a teacher, he's a professor at Oxford University. He says it's worse, so we're going to get into what he has to claim here in just a moment on the 13th birthday of Bitcoin. So happy birthday, Bitcoin, as we continue here. And of course, you're also welcome to bring up anything that you want. Oh, and speaking of coins, there are many other alternatives out there. Intercoin is one of them. And Intercoin has been having us explain to you that they can help any business or organization launch their own currency or raise money using a token. And now Intercoin has launched their investor token worldwide, and you can get it on a centralized exchange, xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You can sign up with just an email address and keep your privacy intact. And then you can deposit dozens of different cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, trade those for Tether, and use the Tether to buy ITR, which is the Intercoin Investor Token. You can learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org. You can buy or sell ITR on xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. And so let's jump into the claim, shall we? We've just sort of generally been talking about what a Ponzi scheme is. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme, but it's not exactly like a pyramid scheme in that there are, as I understand the Ponzi scheme, there aren't specified levels. There wasn't a recruiting requirement. You didn't get paid a commission, at least as I understand it. I'm by no means a scholar on Ponzi schemes. So pyramid schemes are sort of a more, I would say, modern version of a Ponzi scheme. They put a little more thought into it. They've been refining it for decades, basically. But Robert McCauley, the associate member of the Faculty of History at the University of Oxford.
See, this is why he hates Bitcoin. This is why he hates Bitcoin and free markets and cryptocurrency and all of that. Because
he's a commie?
Because he's a professor of history.
Mm-hmm. They threaten him.
And society, by large, the market has no need for someone whose specialty is history. No one needs crap. You're not going to have a job if you don't work for a university. Have you ever hired a historian to help you with something? There would still be museums and stuff like that, but the vast majority of these economics and history professors,
they'd be out of work.
They just wouldn't exist. They exist to uphold the state.
Only the people who were the very best at being history teachers would get the jobs that were actually necessary, like maybe somebody in a museum or something like that.
Or History Channel or something.
Yeah, History Channel. But the average just probably nowadays get jobs at colleges.
Well, he says that despite Bitcoin being touted as the biggest performing asset of 2021 and the last decade, the number one ranked cryptocurrency is, quote, worse, unquote, than the infamous Ponzi scheme. In an opinion article published by Financial Times, McCauley noted that comparing Bitcoin to a Ponzi scheme is an understatement because both do not have the same end game and constitute a deeply negative sum. The scholar suggested that investors who opt to purchase Bitcoin are not guided by the goal of generating an income, but it is a zero coupon for long-term returns as it promises nothing. Well,
what?
As we pointed out, it is true. Bitcoin does not promise you a return. And so he's saying that somehow makes it worse than a Ponzi scheme.
That it
makes it honest, number one. Right.
The long-term return, in theory, is the destruction of the financial system that is being used to turn people into debt slaves.
Sure.
That's the long-term.
That's what libertarians see as far as the value in Bitcoin.
I mean, it doesn't matter if the average Bitcoin investor sees that or not. If Bitcoin is successful in being adopted by the masses, it's designed to do that. It will do that, whether the average person supports it for that reason or not. It will destroy the financial system.
That's why it's just so silly that most people see it as just dollar go up, HODL, so your dollar or number go up. Because really it should just be a replacement for the dollar system, or the system that we use the dollar in.
But it is a replacement for the dollar system.
Yeah, that's what it should be, but people don't see it that way. And basically, like, if all your dollars got turned into Bitcoin and they went down in value, but then the dollar system went away, it'd still be a net positive to me.
I think if the average person thought that Bitcoin was designed and meant to be a way of destroying the USD, they would avoid Bitcoin like the plague, and they would just hate it.
They love
as a result. Well, they're terrified of change more than anything.
There's that, too. There's that.
According the idea of the USD being destroyed and replaced by this thing that
we
the
can't
government
do that.
Can't control, that would push the average person away, I think.
I think you're right about that. According to McCauley, Bitcoin has no fundamentals for investors to make money unless they sell their holdings to another person. And this does come to an important question, is would Bitcoin be able to go up in value if other people didn't get into it? I mean, you had suggested that that was a requirement, Aria, earlier.
I've heard that
it is. A requirement in what way?
For it to go up in value.
For it to, I mean, it's a requirement for what?
For other people to get into it. Meaning more and more people have to keep getting in order for Bitcoin to go up in value. Is that true?
I don't think that's necessarily true because it does have a limited supply. But if demand for it does go down, then it does go down in value. But it doesn't require more people to create more demand, just more demand.
More usage, yeah. More abilities to do something with it. That's a good point.
And the other thing is, if all the Bitcoins were mined and all of them were owned by somebody, there would still be a demand for buying and selling it, right? So it wouldn't really matter if you were the last person to buy a Bitcoin. It doesn't end. Like, if you were the last person to buy a tulip, it ends.
That's a good point, yes. It is a currency, not so much a, well, at least it's a new form of currency, not so much a product in that, from that particular viewpoint. According to McCauley, Bitcoin, again, has no fundamentals. Now, of course, when you look at whether or not Bitcoin's a currency, it actually doesn't meet the definition.
Yeah, I was going to chime in with that. I mean, it's useless as a currency, but...
Well, I mean, it can be used to pay for things, so from that perspective...
So can stocks and Exxon if you can find someone to accept them, but
true.
No one's going to make the argument that stocks and Exxon are a currency.
Yeah, that's true, and I don't have the definition of a currency in front of me, but generally you want fungibility in your currency, and each Bitcoin is identifiable, so it's not fungible. You also want to be able to split the thing up fairly easily. Bitcoin you can do that with, so it does meet that. It does meet that requirement.
Well, does it?
Yeah, you can split down a Bitcoin down to 8 decimal points.
I mean, in theory. But you're going to pay a lot of money to send that, you know, one Satoshi of a Bitcoin.
So is this article only talking about Bitcoin? Not
specifically
other cryptos?
Bitcoin so far, yeah, in this story.
Sometimes I even hear Bitcoin and think crypto.
Well, we're only going to hear discussion about other cryptocurrencies from other cryptocurrency enthusiasts. The mainstream media and talking heads like him.
Doesn't exist to those people. But the other
because it answers a lot of their problems.
The other point you touch on, Aria, is that it is not cheap to transact. And that's another thing that you want your currency to have. You want it to be a low friction, right? You don't want to have to think about whether or not it's going to cost you something to spend. You just want to pull out the cash from your pocket and spend it. And the point of Bitcoin, you should pay attention to the fees because they're going to hit you with some fees in order to spend it. There's more coming up here at 603-283-6160. But is it in any way like a Ponzi scheme? So far, this guy isn't making a very good argument, but he's got more to say, and you can share your thoughts with us. This is Free Talk.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News.
Florida GOP Governor Ron DeSantis is continuing his stinging criticism of the Biden administration. At a news conference Monday, DeSantis blasted the Biden White House over its antibody treatment policy. He also took a jab at Democrat policies in general.
How big of a failure have vaccine passports been? Okay, if vaccine passports succeeded, you would not see a lot of the stuff that you're seeing in a lot of states that implemented them. And so all it served to do was discriminate against people based on an individual choice, create a two-tiered society.
Apple has become the first U.S. company to reach a $3 trillion market cap. Apple briefly reached the milestone on Monday before dropping back under the mark shortly afterwards. Apple broke the barrier when its share price hit $182.86. You're listening to USA Radio News. Children ages 12 to 15 are now eligible to receive a Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine booster shot. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced Monday it's also shortening the time from 6 months to 5 months between being fully vaccinated to being able to receive a booster. Dr. John Brownstein spoke to Good Morning America.
Even at the best children's hospitals in the United States, with state-of-the-art care, some children who become infected with this virus will die from it. That's the sad reality.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will also weigh in on the Pfizer booster later this week. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has been permanently suspended from Twitter. Twitter says Greene spread misinformation about the coronavirus and the 2020 elections on her personal account. Her congressional account is still active. Greene said Twitter is an enemy to America and can't handle the truth. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live phones open if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. Is Bitcoin worse than a Ponzi scheme? That is according to a University of Oxford professor, Robert McCauley, in an article he wrote for the Financial Times. We'll explain a little bit more about his opinion, and your thoughts are certainly welcome. The number is 603-283-6160. And Bonnie, you had an apology to make to Matt Damon?
Yes, I'd like to publicly apologize to Matt Damon because I mixed him up with Mark Wahlberg, so all of my opinions about how lame he was were solely based on Mark Wahlberg, so I apologize, Matt Damon.
I don't know who Mark Wahlberg even is.
Marky Mark?
What was he in?
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
He was in Ted.
Okay. I have seen Ted once.
He's been in a bunch of action, like relatively not so memorable action movies, but you don't remember Marky Mark from like the early 90s?
No.
Good Vibrations? Not the Beach Boys track, but like the early 90s tune? Okay, all right. He was a rapper, and I think he was, wasn't he?
Mark Wahlberg was a rapper?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how he got his career started, and then at some point...
He called himself Marky Mark.
Yeah, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Only in the 90s, man.
And then at some point, somebody decided to cast him in a movie, and he started a movie career after that. And apparently, Bonnie can't stand him.
Yeah, I thought he was Matt Damon. They look similar, but Matt Damon was in The Martian, which I liked.
I didn't know until recently, speaking of actors and singers, that Jared Leto is actually the singer from 30 Seconds to Mars, and he started acting in order to fund that band.
I didn't know anything about that band.
Yeah.
Never heard.
They're not very good.
Okay.
I mean, his movies are better than his music, but...
So we were just talking about Bitcoin as currency, and does it meet the definition of currency? I mean, in some ways it does, but in other ways it doesn't. It certainly is not stable, right? Like, generally you want a currency to be reliable, store of value, you want it to be stable, and Bitcoin can go up in one instant and down in the next as far as its value is concerned. So that's generally not something that people would consider to be a currency from that aspect. But that's not what Macaulay is focusing on here. He's saying Bitcoin is worse than a Ponzi scheme because it has no fundamentals for investors to make money unless they sell their holdings to another person. And
isn't that more or less how a Ponzi scheme works, though? Is that it didn't have any way of people making money except taking money from people and giving it to other people. And that's not what Bitcoin is doing.
Yeah. Probably worse to me
so
than
it's worse,
selling it, yeah.
It's worse than a Ponzi scheme because it's not a Ponzi scheme?
He seems to be making that argument. There was no other way to make money in the Ponzi scheme unless other people came in and bought. I think that the comparison is, and I think you took this down in the last segment, this misconception. It is widely misconceived that more people need to get into Bitcoin in order for the value of it to go up.
Or you could have more Bitcoin sent to sinkhole wallets that will never be recovered. That decreases the supply of Bitcoin, which increases the value of Bitcoin.
And that happens all the time. People forget their keys and they forget their passwords all the time. I've given out Bitcoin wallets to people. I've sent them crypto for free, just as a, you know, we did giveaways here for years in Keene prior to the raid earlier this year, and I must have set 400 or 500 people up with cryptocurrency wallets in just this county and sent them free crypto, and it's not uncommon for them to email me later on and say, hey, I broke my phone, and I'm wondering how I can get back into my crypto wallet. And I'll say, did you write down the backup phrase?
And obviously, when you step through this process, you told them every single time, hey, make sure you write this down.
Yep.
And they never do.
And they don't. Or they might lose it. You know, they might lose the information or forget where they put it or something like that. And so there is a lot of Bitcoin that has been lost already, and more will likely be lost in the future. And then, as you pointed out, as more companies start to accept Bitcoin, for payments, for instance, as it becomes more useful in other technologies.
Well, a company being willing to accept it as payment is increasing the demand of Bitcoin. They want that Bitcoin.
Yes.
Enough that they will take it from you. That does require more people getting into Bitcoin.
Right. But how would the market know? Because the market knows how much it's worth based on how much people are willing to buy and sell it for. Well, how much people are willing to sell it for. So how would the market know if it wasn't that it was getting bought and sold?
Well, no, I'm not saying it wouldn't be bought and sold. The question was, do we need to always have more people coming in order for it to be worth more and more and more? And
oh, okay.
The argument Aria made, and it was an interesting one I'd not heard before, is that no, you technically don't. You just need to increase the demand. And
getting new people in is just one way of doing that.
Right. Right. You can increase demand within the existing ecosystem, within the people who already have it. Like, if you can get the people who have crypto to actually spend it, because there's a lot of people that are holding it, right? Like, the reason why crypto is valuable in my book is because it's useful, is because you can do something with it. It's not like a Ponzi scheme where you just have a receipt for money that you gave to a guy who said he was going to give you some more money back. Cryptocurrency does what it says it's going to do. When Bitcoin promises that if you send Bitcoin from your wallet to somebody else's wallet, that it is going to arrive, and it will arrive there within roughly 10 minutes, as far as its first confirmation time is concerned. Sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little less. But it's going to be there. And there's no one who can stand in the way of it. There's no banker who can say, whoa, the IRS came in here and said, we can't let you do that. Or,
we need to know where you got these funds.
Right.
And why you're sending them to this person. And who is this person, by the way?
Yeah, and they won't say, oh, I'm sorry, you missed the wiring cutoff time for today, and so it's going to be Monday morning before that wire goes out. You know, all these stupid bankers.
And you sit there going, but I just paid you for a same-day wire transfer.
Right. Well, sorry, that meant tomorrow. So, you know, none of those things happen with Bitcoin. Bitcoin does what it says it's going to do.
And another hole, I think, in his theory that Bitcoin is worse than a Ponzi scheme is that he's only focusing on Bitcoin, even though Bitcoin can easily be traded within other cryptos. The other crypto could go up in price, and all you did was buy Bitcoin with the dollar, as far as dollars are concerned.
Stablecoins, he says, may somehow trigger Bitcoin's collapse. And this one I've never heard before, so I'm very interested to see what
I think. In the long run, stablecoins are destined to fail because most of them, any of the ones that are tied to fiat currencies at least, are destined to fail.
As those fiat currencies go down in value,
yeah.
I mean.
But how could they make Bitcoin fail? That doesn't make sense.
He cited the crash of stablecoins pegged on the dollar as a critical weak point for Bitcoin.
What is that? I'm
now starting to think he thinks Bitcoin is crypto.
He opines that the collapse of stablecoins with a significant market size could easily disrupt the entire crypto ecosystem. Quote, these unregulated money market funds that have been sold as dollar stand-ins with safe assets that match their outstanding liabilities, given the lack of regulation and disclosure, it's not hard to imagine a big stablecoin breaking the buck, he said.
Breaking the dollar?
Does he mean, I'm not sure what he means by breaking the buck.
I don't know what that is.
That would certainly, I mean, a collapse of something like Binance Coin or U.S. Dollar Tether, they would go, oh, look, it turns out we didn't actually have any U.S. or whatever. Sure, that would undermine trust in Bitcoin to some extent. It would drive down the value of Bitcoin to some extent. But to act like it would just be devastating for Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency that isn't the currency that was a scam is silly.
And to act like there wouldn't immediately be people filling in to replace Tether is ridiculous.
Well, he's addressing at least one legitimate concern, and that is that some of these stablecoin issuers do not have necessarily or cannot prove that they have the assets to back up their what they're issuing. So if Tether just, the Tether, for listeners that don't know, Tether is the biggest, what they call stablecoin. It's the equivalent of a dollar value for each one of these digital tokens. And Tether claims that they have in a vault somewhere a bunch of dollars and some treasury notes and some, you know, whatever other things that are supposedly worth.
Why should Tether have to have that? Banks don't have to have the money they say they have. So why should Tether?
That's a great question, Aria.
It also doesn't have anything to do with his claim. He's not saying just that and that alone. He's saying that somehow can bring down Bitcoin.
No, that's what I'm saying. He only has really one good point here, and that is that there are some concerns about some of the stable coins and whether or not they're actually backed.
A new one will just jump right in when Tether goes down if it does.
But will that somehow harm Bitcoin? I don't think so. It will disrupt some trading because a lot of these exchanges are using Tether, for instance. There's more coming up.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. The number to join us, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I actually pulled up the full article by this scholar who is attacking Bitcoin, saying it's worse than a Ponzi scheme. He actually does do a quick rundown of the original Charles Ponzi scheme. He says that in 1920, Ponzi promised 50% on a 45-day investment. So that was what the original deal was with Ponzi. And he did manage to.
I've definitely heard worse pitches. I mean, more insane levels of investment. Like just recently, like a week ago, while I was here doing the show, someone messaged me, "Hey, if you invest $1,000, I'll turn it into $2,000." Okay. No, this is obviously a scam. Why are you messaging me this crap?
Because it works.
Yeah,
you know,
they just send it out enough times per day.
If they message 1,000 people, maybe one of them will do it. And if they're living in, some crappy country somewhere where the rent is, $100 a month, if they can scam one person out of $1,000, then they've paid their rent for almost an entire year at that point. So
I would totally be a scammer if I lived in a third world country.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Well, that's sad. I would hope that you'd get some honest work. But
it'd be too hard because of the government, so it wouldn't be my fault. It'd have to be a scammer.
Well, you can't blame them for it, I guess, because there are so many suckers out there that'll fall for some of the most ridiculous scams out there. The number 603-283-6160 is the number here. But we're reading just basically a summary of his article from Finbold.com. Robert McCauley saying that Bitcoin is worse than a Ponzi scheme. He says
that stablecoins are somehow going to crash Bitcoin when he predicts the failure of stablecoins happens. Now, we know the dollar is failing because that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to go down in value over time and essentially transfer value from the poor saps that hold the dollar into the pockets of the politically connected, you know, military, industrial, or pharmaceutical industrial complex who are getting the printed money from the federal government. But that's not what he means when he says the failure of stablecoins.
No, he means people trying to cash out their stablecoins for actual USD and finding out that, like, Tether or whoever does it. But, you know, my issue with this, and I alluded to it during the last segment, is that the U.S. government, which presumably would be the one saying, yes, Tether actually has all of this, they allow the banking system within the United States to not have the amount of USD they're supposed to have. This is what this is what the movie It's a Wonderful Life, that Christmas movie, is all about. We've already seen runs on banks. They haven't happened in quite a while, but they can and do happen.
They happen in other countries.
And they've happened in the United States because banks don't actually have the amount of money they're supposed to have. And this is totally okay to the U.S. government. And this happening never collapsed the USD or these other unrelated currencies, right?
Well, there's a lot of talk about regulation of stable coins now. And
but banks aren't regulated.
Well, yes, they are.
Well, they're not required to ensure they actually have the amount of USD they're supposed to have.
Well, that's why I'm saying people should be really concerned with the regulation of stable coins, because that will actually maybe might make them more like banks. They may actually, by being willing to be regulated by the state, be given the protection to allow them to start acting in a fractional reserve manner. Because they are talking.
I know you're
about,
not wrong, but man, I hope not.
Whenever you start reading the articles about the potential regulation for stablecoins, and there's a lot of talk about, will the U.S. government regulate stablecoin issuers as though they are banks? And to me, that sounds like they want to give them a chance to join the club. Now, I know that
there's currently no fractional reserve requirement in the United States, though.
That's right.
But I know that Tether wouldn't have to have any USD.
Now, I know the banks don't want that because they don't want to let the crypto people into the club. So it's going to be a fight. There's no, you know, for sure direction on how this is going to go, but they're definitely talking about regulating the stable coins.
See, well, I trust Tether now more that they're not regulated by the government.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I have an unrelated to Tether argument against this article that I thought of. One thing that is worse about a Ponzi scheme than crypto is there isn't some fallible man in control of all the money. There's like an actual algorithm that won't just, oops, I actually just lost the money, or, you know.
Or he dies, or something like that.
With most crypto, I guess there are cryptos that end up being actual scams, but
oh yeah, there are. But your point is still good, because Bitcoin, while it was created by presumably a person,
he set an algorithm in place. He doesn't just sit there and go, okay, now I give you this and
right.
I give you that.
It's not being administered by that person. We don't even know where that person is, if they are even still alive at this point. And the code is, of course, visible. The code is open source.
Yeah, I don't know if algorithm is the right word.
It's program, and that's what an algorithm is. But anyway, it's open source, so anyone who wants to can look at it. Anyone who's got the programming chops can audit the code and make sure it does what it says it's going to do, which is why Bitcoin cannot be, you know, taken down. It can't be hacked because it's transparent. You know, there's no secret backdoor to Bitcoin. There's no way for someone to exploit the system. If they could, they would have by now. So anyway, back to the story here. He said Bitcoin's cash flow is similar to penny stocks pump and dump schemes that he builds on the Ponzi scheme. The scholar insinuated the investors acquire Bitcoin, which he terms as worthless, and it taps into the desire for making profits. Well, it's definitely true that a lot of people get into Bitcoin in the hope that they're going to be able to sell it for more.
I don't think that talking about pump and dump schemes, which are these penny stock things that people do, like with GameStop and AMC theaters and stuff like that,
right,
where they convince more people to buy in and then they sell when it's a high point and people who don't sell lose money. I don't think it's fair to compare that to Bitcoin.
No, not at all.
Because there isn't any sort of orchestrated, there's no Reddit thread dedicated to driving up the value of Bitcoin. Pump and dump schemes do happen in cryptocurrencies.
And they're always with smaller penny stocks, basically.
And when they crash, they stay down. They don't, you know,
come
like
back.
Crypto can crash and then come way back.
You mean Bitcoin?
Bitcoin can crash and then come back and then do even better than it did before.
Yeah, and Bitcoin, when it quote-unquote crashes, it doesn't go from $68,000 to a dollar.
Yeah.
It goes from $68,000 to $55,000.
Yeah,
comes
but
back
you
to
know, there's plenty of people out there who bought it when it was at $68,000, and now it's crashed to $45,000. So they bought $1,000 worth, and now that $1,000 is what is that, like $700?
I'm not saying it doesn't hurt.
So
I'm
they're
just
panicking,
saying it doesn't go
and they're
down
selling,
to...
and they're like, oh, Bitcoin's a scam. I lost $300
sure,
in
no
it.
No doubt about it. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt to, you know, to watch that happen.
But it is but silly to sell at that point. You should just hold through it.
That's absolutely good advice. You should just hold on to it. But the point I'm making is when it does go down, it's not going down to near zero. Mm-hmm. It's going down to, you know, 20% down, 10% down. I mean, it's very unusual that you'll see a 50% down on Bitcoin these days. It's just too resilient. There's so much demand in the marketplace. Whenever it goes down, there's a bunch of people who want to, quote unquote, buy the dip, and they snatch it up.
And if you were born with all your parents always gave you crypto and you never had a dollar in your life, then you use that to buy some dollars, it would only go down.
The dollars would go down. That's a guarantee, for sure. So he points out that, or he believes Bitcoin will have an ongoing cycle of pumping and dumping with fear of missing out as a catalyst. Consequently, he thinks the cycle will lead Bitcoin to have a different ending, unlike the Ponzi scheme. Well, Ponzi went to prison.
He's probably right. There will always be people out there who sell at the high points of Bitcoin and buy at the low points of Bitcoin. There will always be these people out there. But whether or not that constitutes a pump and
that's
dump scheme
and
or
dump.
Anything, it's not.
Pump and dumps are orchestrated, and yeah. Bitcoin is too big to orchestrate. You can't, like you said, you could go put a Reddit thread out there and like, all right, guys, let's buy Bitcoin. Let's pump it up. And it's not going to make a dent.
No, people are already out there doing that. It's just, hey, guys, go out there and buy Bitcoin. We spent the last 3 hours saying that. It's not going to make a difference in the value of Bitcoin.
The whole point of the pump and dump is to coordinate people on a relatively unknown crypto to drive the price up of that thing and then sell at the top of whatever the price drive up was.
Or a stock.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a crypto.
He says Bitcoin is a resource-intensive asset that differs from the Ponzi scheme. He notes that Bitcoin's power consumption is a concern. They got to bring that one up every single time. Oh, my God.
Well, how is that different than the dollar?
It wouldn't be a concern if we had nuclear energy, but no, people keep getting in the way of that as well.
Well, it's not even a concern. There are plenty of stories that have addressed the power consumption of Bitcoin, and the reality is it's a fraction of what the banks consume.
I like the one that shows Bitcoin mining, and it's like a bunch of windmills, and then USD mining, and it's a bunch of warships sailing off to war. Because, yeah, that's how they mine USD.
That's what backs the USD. It's violence.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's what this guy is all about, is, you know, trying to convince people that this is somehow a scheme and a scam. And you know what? If that's what you believe, then stick with the dollar. Or, at the very least, get some gold or silver. At least then you're still protected in sort of the classic method from manipulation of the dollar. But gold's been pathetic over the last year. Sadly, I wish gold had doubled or tripled or something like that.
It doesn't seem to be keeping pace with inflation, for sure.
It doesn't seem to be. And that's because they can manipulate the supply to some extent. We're out of time for tonight. You'll see you tomorrow online. In the meantime, you can join us over at freetalklive.com. And once again, Bitcoin's 13th birthday, so happy birthday, Bitcoin. See you tomorrow.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.